this day. Joanne, if you would bring us into church on the last Sunday in November. Joanne?
So he doesn't have to worry about that. That's beautiful.
The first Sunday of Advent.
It's full of emotion. All the song, even to the end, is full of emotion. That's what music does. Amen. Music touches you. Music. We always say in the nursing homes that music is totally medicinal. Healing people sitting in beds in a nursing home, making them smile, bringing them back to life, letting them remember something. What a beautiful gift music is. Let's all stand up together and let's pray together as the Father in heaven did, in love and respect to our Lord and Savior. Pray with us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. In him. The eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him. That means those who reverence him, who love him, who adore him, and those whose hope is in his unfailing love. Sometimes when you read the Psalms, you get that kind of peace, you get that kind of comfort. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. As quiet as I've heard the church. Thank you, Lord. A testimony to God today is could almost be a sermon. I'll try not to make it long, but it's in my heart, and I'm sure in your heart. My testimony to God is to thank Him for a mother and a father who loved me. Who loved me, trained me, brought me up, taught me right from wrong, helped me along in my way, taught me ways in life that brought me success, gave me love when I was a child, but gave me the discipline also in the midst of that love. Taught me to respect my elders, respect my teachers. They taught me to respect those in authority. You know, we all laugh about it, but we all say the same thing. I remember in school, if you got in trouble in school, you were more afraid of what was going to happen when you went home. Amen? And we laugh about that. But that's the truth. That's the truth. And I want to thank God. And not everybody had a mom and dad like I did. And my mom and dad were divorced when I was about 10 years old, 11 years old. They got divorced. But my dad never stopped loving me, never stopped. I mean, he called me his best friend. He called me something else that's a little embarrassing I can't share with you. But it's a beautiful thing. But he loved me beyond love. I have cards at home that he wrote to me that I'll never let go of. My mother was just, I never knew we were poor. You all say that. I heard people say that. We lived in a three-room apartment around the corner here. We didn't have hot water. You had to light a tank and you get the hot water. We didn't have a stove and an oven, so my mother couldn't bake lasagna and stuff shells. And she always apologized. She couldn't make any cakes. I didn't know we were poor. We had a banana on the table. I had an orange. So I give thanks to that. I give thanks to my mother and father being parents, being teachers. Amen? Now, the Word of God is so important. You're seeing a lot of anger in the world today. Amen? You're seeing a lot of people stirring up the anger. But they're stirring up the anger to the end of the problem, not to the beginning of the problem. Right here in the Bible tells us. Amen? Remember years ago, they started getting drunk driving, and they said people were driving drunk, and they wanted to put a stop. They put those people to rest. And finally, somebody thought, let's go back to where they got drunk and start the problem there and start putting the pressure on nightclubs. And even if you were at a house party and you leave there and you're drunk, they can go back to the house party and you can be responsible. Responsible. Amen. Responsibility. Going back to the beginning. You can never fix the problem at the end. Amen. You got to go back to the beginning. The airbags in the cars. Have you heard about that? Some of the airbags in the cars aren't working. They go back to where? The beginning. They remake the airbags. Amen. You got a lot of people talking anger and hate and getting people riled up instead of finding a way to heal. Now let me tell you before I read these Proverbs. My father spanked me one time on my butt. I didn't know he had cancer at the time. I didn't know he was at the end of his life. I mean, he just put me over his lap and gave me a couple of spanks on my butt. That shook me to the core of my being. Amen? My mother got really mad at me one time, and I tell you that because I remember how mad my mother was at me. That affected me. The Bible talks about spare the rod. And there's some people who are going to say, oh, that means I can beat my child. No. No, it doesn't mean you can beat your child. But discipline is like a rod. Amen? You say no to your child like a rod. No, you can't stay out after that. No, you can't wear that dress. You can't wear those pants. No, you have. It's respect that you learn. Amen? And it starts with mom and a dad. And a lot of children today don't have a mom and a dad. And the mom and the dad that they have today are a generation away from learning what we're talking about. Amen? It's not a guilt trip. It's not accept the truth. You are how you brought up. Respect is earned. Amen? You respect your mother and your father, your teacher. And when you want respect, what do you got to do? You have to earn the respect. Amen? It starts as a child. Now, people look at the end result, the problem, and they scream and holler about that. But so much happened before that day happened. Amen? In any event that you see, in any major event that we've had in this country, many things happened before that problem. Now, I can tell you the truth, and I'm going to tell you the truth. In my house was a 12-gauge shotgun, a 20-gauge shotgun, and a bow and arrow on my wall. On my wall. I never, ever took it down and touched it because Dad trained me. My brothers trained me because I knew. I understood. Amen? Because I respected what was there. Everything that you have, when your children respect it, it doesn't have to be that. I'm just saying that things in my life, things in my world, where I could have done, I would have never thought about doing. Amen? Because I didn't want to dishonor my parents. I didn't want my parents to be mad. I didn't want the cops and the teachers and all that stuff. I wanted to be more. I wanted to grow. Amen? My folks gave me that. And it starts there. My testimony is to love in that way. Proverbs, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. You just think about what's happened in this world in the last few years, and you listen to that. A foolish son is the grief of his mother. Hallelujah. And how much grief is in the world today? Are you with me? Hallelujah. That's Proverbs. This is Proverbs 13:24. Spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. And again, brothers and sisters, it's not a beating. Please understand, God is saying it's a concern for their development. It's mature nurturing and guiding and correcting. It's not a beating. My father never had to beat me. If I thought he was upset at me, my heart was torn apart. He told me one year I was going to play Joe's Place on 34. I remember doing the cafe, Ruth 34 Cafe. Well, the owner of the place, Joe Smirley, called me up and said, Larry, I want you guys to come and play on Christmas Eve. Called the guys up, we were going to play on Christmas Eve. I called my dad, and my dad said to me, you show up at that place Christmas Eve, I'm going to smash all your equipment. It meant a lot to him. Did I play Christmas Eve? Done, over. Because I didn't want to hurt him. Amen? Because as a youth, he brought me up that way. Hallelujah. I wish they were talking more about this than the hate that they're talking about today. Hallelujah. A foolish son is grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. But a foolish son can only be that way if he doesn't get the beginning. Amen? You can't blame the boy if he never was trained. You can't blame him for what happens if he never gets taught what he needs to be taught as a child. Amen? Family. Family. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. We all know that, amen? We don't know what we know. And you know, modern science and technology is wonderful, but you put it in the hands of a child and they're in trouble. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. Lack of understanding, teaching them right and wrong. Simply, what's right and what's wrong. I give God thanks. My testimony is for two people who were my parents. My dad was my friend, I say my best friend, but he didn't want to be my best friend when I was growing up. He wanted to teach me. My mother, she brought me to St. Mary's whether I wanted to go or not. And she didn't bring me every week, but the fact that I went there and saw and partaked of that entered into my spirit, amen? She walked me to school until the sixth grade. My friends were, but she said, no, I'm walking me to school. She wanted to walk me to school. So my friend used to say, how come your mother walks you? I said, she walks with me to school. She wants to get out of the house. She wants to walk with me. That's love, amen? That's what's missing today. You can argue about all the things in the politics and all the other people, what they're arguing about, and screaming and getting people riled up and talking about injustice. But I say as a pastor, we need to talk love. We need to teach love and respect. Amen? Amen? Because what your children wear really does matter sometimes. I had to wear a tie in Derby High School. Anybody here, Dave Derby? I had to wear a tie. We hated it. I'm telling you, we hated it. We protested. We did. We were outside one day protesting, and they came out. There was about 70 of us out there. And they came out and they said, anybody out here after the bell rings are going to get suspended. The bell rang. I looked around. There was four of us. That was it. They said it. We did it back in the end. But I understand now what it was all about. It was just teaching me one more little reason to be respectful. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we just need to hear more about what you say. We need to remove the anger and bring back love as a child. We need to look at this book and just see that it guides us, it tells us, it teaches us. Lord, we're not foolish enough to think that this book makes us perfect, or that all our children will be perfect, or all our lives will be perfect. We know that, Lord. We're not that foolish. But Lord, we know that we need to give them the right chance. We need to give them as much chance as they can to succeed, to be better than we were, to have more than we had. They have to work harder. We have to give them that chance when they're 5, when they're 7, when they're 10, when they're 12, when they're 18, when they're 22. If your child's in college and your old Brady's in college, but he hasn't learned anything about the world yet, he's smart. He's smart and he's learning. But when he gets out, he's got the world to deal with. You need to train him up so that he can face that. Humble, and sure of himself. Let that be the first thing that they see. Let them see somebody willing to work, ready to work, dedicated to work, dedicated to being better. Don't leave them with toys to play with, computers to play on, and all these things to play with. That's not parenting. That's excusing. Oh, get here and go into my room. Years ago, kids didn't want to be sent to their room. Why? There was nothing there. They were left to themselves. Lord, we want some more of you. This is the message that's so important for the world. This is the message that gives our kids a chance. That gives our kids hope for the future. Discipline in a way that teaches them right from wrong. Discipline that teaches them love and respect. To look at your mother with love, never saying things to a mother that you would never believe, or to your father, to your brother, to your sister. God hears it all and sees it all. And he knows. He knows what happens when that happens, and he told us in this book how to take care of that. No, we're not going to be perfect, and our kids aren't being perfect. And they're going to wear things we don't want them to, and they're going to say things that we don't want them to. And just like we did, we're going to do things that our parents didn't want. My hand is up in the air because I did things my parents did not want me to do. But thank you, Lord, they taught me enough to bring me back each and every time and talk about you and learn about you and come back home where I was safe. Where I was safe at home. Heal this land, Lord. Let every voice that speaks about you today, let it be about healing the land, not the situation. Heal the home. Go back to the beginning. Home. Start there in Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Praising glory, church, in this house. Hallelujah. I have an announcement to make. As your pastor, I now proclaim this is the only house that's the true house. It is the house of God. No other house is the house of God. But this house, if you're not in this house, you don't have God.
What? You're not impressed either? Sounds pretty foolish, doesn't it? Kind of ridiculous. Hallelujah. Pretty self-serving. But there are some bodies of church, that's exactly what they preach. If you're not a member here, you're not with Jesus. Nope, Jesus lives here, he doesn't live over there. Praise the Lord, I want to do it. The one Jew church, hallelujah. Now we all agree that that sounds crazy, and I like that. So now that you all agree that that sounds crazy, that God lives where? In you, eh? He doesn't live in a building, amen? We don't put God in a box. He created everything, yet some people think, well, you created it, but now you live here and we've got you boxed in. And that's it. It just, the foolishness of it, just, but people believe that. There are some that this person, this religion won't talk to this religion because they're a different religion, but I'm talking about Jesus. Yeah, but you don't come to my church. Huh? We had a woman, we know a woman, do. We went to their house for Thanksgiving. Not Thanksgiving. When was it? Easter? Was it a holiday? Was it? It was a holiday. I remember what holiday it was. And they said, let's pray. Oh, no. She goes to church every Sunday. Goes to church a lot. I mean, tithing and everything. I said, oh, no, we don't pray. We don't talk about Jesus? No. Jesus? Yeah, we don't talk about Jesus. Praise God. So what do you talk about? What do you learn? Oh, I don't tell other people about God. Well, how do you bring other people to God if you don't talk about God to other people? Amen? We talk about God. And, you know, I don't walk around talking about God 24/7. Brian and Annie, last night, I didn't talk about God all night long. We talked about football and baseball and cuppies and all the other things. But when the opportunity opens up, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm telling somebody because I want them to have more. Amen. I want them to have a chance with God. Not with me. I love them to all come to our church, but I want them to go somewhere and get fed the Word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to share the Word. I want to partake in the Word. I want everybody learning without walls or boundaries, but feeling thanksgiving. Amen. I want you to know God in a way that makes me know that I'm doing something right with Him. I want you to trust Him the way I trust Him. Believe in Him the way I believe in Him. You think my wife and I, our lives aren't perfect. We've got struggles and things and we've got sadness and we've got problems that everybody else has, but we try to give them to God. I heard my wife talking to our daughter the other day saying, you know, God brought us here. God took care and God is taking care of us. He's not going to stop tomorrow. Amen. But you'll never know Him like that. You'll never know where to begin with God. He is that He is. Say that with me. He is that He is. Hallelujah. Control Him, but the more, listen, we can't control God. Amen. We can. But we can let Him control us. Amen. The more you let Him control you. And it's a manly thing, Roger, to let Him control you. That means you have to give up some of yourself, thinking because you're in control, and He wants you to be, and you are in control. But He's the controller of your control, see? But the more you let Him control you, the more you let Him lead you, all of a sudden, words that you said before, you don't want to say that word. And it feels funny. I used to say that word all the time, but now I say that word, and it feels, and I get mad at everything. And I don't want to get mad anymore, because getting mad don't help me. Getting mad gets me sick. Amen? And being mad at my friend, I want to go yell at him, but I don't want to yell at him because he's my friend and I love him. And I know that if I say something bad to my friend, I have to live with that. He can say it 20 times over, oh, I forgive you. I know you didn't mean it. But when I lay my head on the pillow at night, I got to remember that I said that to my friend. And it hurts, amen? So I want more of God controlling me. He's not going to make me a robot. He gave me free will. I could still go to the casino. I probably shouldn't say that in church. I could still go to the ball game. I can, you know. He's, it's enjoy. I want to enjoy the life that he's blessed me with. But wherever I go, I want his presence more and more. It changes lives. Amen? It's a good thing. Amen? You go fishing. Brian, I said, go fishing. Pray to God when you're in the boat. Nobody else. You could be in a boat with 25 other people. You start talking to God, nobody knows. They're all fishing. And Brian's over there talking to God. How do you know? I don't know. But all of a sudden, Brian's catching the fish, or Brian's this, or he's, hey, what are you doing, Brian? Oh, nothing. I'm just talking to God. When you start to taste how good it is, when you start to see that God is blessing me, I got a little more work, something else happened, and I got some extra money. Hey, God's blessing me. God is opening doors. He opens doors for you. And the best doors are the ones he stays shut, closed. He won't let you walk through. As many times, and God is good, as many times as you want to walk through that door, you pound your head until you can't, and you finally give up because God's saying, stuff on the other side, I don't want you to deal with. You don't have to deal with it. It's not good for you. Amen? If you trust him, the Bible says he leads your path. So Chuck, he'll lead you to the right deer stand if you trust him. Walk in the woods and do it. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let him control you. You can't control him. So the more he has control over you, the more your conversation changes, the more your peace comes, the more your joy comes. Like I said, Brian, we didn't talk about God all night last night. We talked about the dogs and we talked about food and we had a good time. But that doesn't mean that my spirit still wasn't looking at everybody and praying and enjoying knowing God's in the house. I know that Brian is a godly man. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Y'all doing all right? Praise God. It's a good day. This book here, y'all know what this is? It's a book. It's a Bible. It's a book. But it's full of letters to us, to churches. Letters. Simple letters. And it sounds funny because you don't know those places. The Corinthians. Paul wrote a letter to the Corinthians. He wrote a letter to the church in Corinth. Hence the Bible called it. Hallelujah. He went to Ephesus and he built a church there. He started, and understand this, there were no church buildings back at this time. When Paul was doing this, there were no church buildings because the Romans would destroy them. People, the Jews would destroy the buildings of Christians. The Romans and the Jews came together, and so they met in people's houses. They met in people's, they had, like us. This would be a church like Paul would build. It wasn't filled of 1,000 people. It was filled with local people, people around learning the same message, learning the Word of God. Amen? But you say, well, it's still a little bit difficult. So I say to you that if Paul came here today and he wanted to write a letter about a church, say he had a church in Ansonia, you with me? That book would be called, that letter would be called The Ansonians. Oh, writing a letter to a church, or in Bridgeport, the Bridgeportonians. And it would be in the Bible. Or go to the book of Bridgeportonians, a letter he built a church in Bridgeport. Or in Shelton, the Sheltonians. Simply, that simple. Amen? Are you with me? And Paul had a different ministry than Peter. We talked about Peter. Paul was a man to the Gentiles, to us. He was going to go around. His mission was to build churches, to bring people to who? Hallelujah. Bring them to Jesus. To God. 2 Timothy is in the Bible. He writes one letter to Timothy, and then he writes a second letter to Timothy. This one's in the Bible. This is his last letter before he's killed, before he has his head taken off in Rome. He knows this time is the end, and he's writing Timothy one more time. For you, for me, and for Timothy. This is his last letter. Now you all hear the stories about people getting ready to pass away, and they say what they say on their deathbed is the most important because it's the most honest, and they're just expressing everything. They're trying to get everything that they want to say, and it's everything on their heart. He knows this will probably be the last chance he gets to talk to people and talk to Timothy about us. And he writes it to Timothy. And he says, thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears. Timothy said about what's happening to Paul, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore I remind you, Timothy, to stir up the good gifts which is in you through the laying of my hands. For God, and this is for us, brothers, listen to this. This is a big scripture, one line. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of a love and of a sound mind. I remember you in my prayers night and day. How many here pray for other people? How many here pray for other people in this church? When somebody's not here, we wonder where they are and we say a prayer for them. What if you found out today, God came to you and said, oh, by the way, Miss Pat, that prayer you prayed for so-and-so, it was your prayer that I answered. When I answered their prayer, it was your prayer. Thank you for praying. If they told you that, Miss Elaine, that you prayed for somebody and it was on your heart and that prayer got answered and God came to you right now and said, Miss Elaine, it was your prayer. Yours, the last prayer. That was the prayer that brought me to answer his prayer, to answer them. I tell you one thing, you would never stop praying. Amen? Never. You would never, ever, ever stop praying. And Paul says that. I remember you in my prayers night and day. What a beautiful thing. He says that a lot in his letters. And then he says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What does he mean by that? It's simple. He said, we don't have the Holy Spirit inside of us isn't put there for us to worry about our life, our sickness, our worry. Amen? He said, I gave you a power and a love and of a sound mind. That means you can overcome. Amen? You can overcome when things come against you. You can give it to who? Praise the Lord. And he tells Timothy and he tells the church. He tells this to the church. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. He's telling Timothy that though undeserved, because we're not deserving of salvation, God did it for us through grace. Amen? He's telling Timothy to be strong because God has blessed you. Even though we didn't deserve it, he's blessed you. Amen? Jim, he's blessed you. Even though you didn't deserve the salvation that he gave. So he's telling you, according to your faith, be strong in that faith. What he gave you was free, amen? What he gave you was something you did not ask for. He gave it to you because he first loved you, amen? Are you with me? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He tells Timothy this, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Let me just finish with that and I'll finish with This is so important to believers, because believe it or not, some believers have faith that just kind of fades away. Amen? They don't have enough faith. They just fall to the end. And he's telling us, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. You've prayed. Brenda, say you prayed and you prayed and you prayed and nothing has changed. Amen? You look around and nothing has changed. Times of trouble around you. Hallelujah. You feel weak. Everybody ever feel like giving up? Saying, just this isn't going to work. I give up. I give up. Well, guess who doesn't give up? He heard your prayer, amen? So when you become faithless, it doesn't mean that you've given up on God. It means you're at the end of your faith. It says, if we are faithless, in other words, if you've reached the end and you don't have any faith to carry you through, when you get to that point, and I know we've all been to that point, amen? The Bible says, who he? Hallelujah. hallelujah, remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. Amen. If you read from the pastor's desk, talked about forgiveness. When you forgive, when you give, when you give, say that with me, when you give forgiveness, you've given something, amen? You've given something. You've also removed it from your spirit, amen? You've put a place in your heart where something else can enter, but you've given something. Now you've put God in a place now, you see? Because God says when you give, it is what? Given back, pressed down, and shaken together. So if you've given forgiveness, he's going to fill you with blessings. Amen. Whatever blessings you're calling for your forgiveness, for your help, for your love, he has to do what the word says. Amen. Because he cannot deny himself. And this is the best part. And you tell people all around, it doesn't matter how you feel about it. Amen. He doesn't care how you feel about it. Are you with me? He doesn't care if you don't feel it or if you don't know if you feel it. He said, I have already done it. Amen? It's done. It's over. You take it. I've given it to you. Well, I don't really feel if I... No, it doesn't matter. And I'll read from Romans and then we'll... I love this. This is Romans 3. Paul writes this. For what if... Say that with me. For what if some did not believe? And he says, will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Let God be true and every man a liar. He wrote this to Timothy, but he could have wrote it to the Sheltonians. These are letters. Every little one's a letter. To the Philippians, to the Ephesians. Just letters. Building churches unto Jesus. Amen. Not building any religion. He's building us in God. Next week I'll finish, but there's three words he says to Timothy. Three words, and when I first came here to this church, these are the three words that were in my heart. He said, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Amen. This word changes lives. Proverbs would have changed a lot of things that happened in the world the last 5 or 6 years, whatever, how far back you want to go. The Bible. People say it's old and dusty. We need to rewrite it. Those people are liars. People say the Bible doesn't matter today. Those people are liars. People say all kinds of things about this is old and it's worn out and all the pages are worn out. People are liars. This is the living word, brothers and sisters. The living word. The living word for you. Give God praise and glory. So you didn't buy the fact that this is the only place that God lives. Yeah. Thought I'd get one person with me. But no, I know that I know that I know. Hallelujah. Your pastor, I know. Your pastor's crazy. God also gave me some other things in life that I'm thankful for. He gave me three of the most beautiful friends a boy can grow up with. Amen. As parents, you want to lead your children to play with children that are better for their children. God couldn't have put me in a better place, and I give thanks to them. Let's do the Lord's prayer. Jesus, I can just everything about Jesus. People say you're crazy about Jesus. Absolutely. If I'm going to be crazy about something, I want it to be about him. And he simply asks us in this church, in this little church, in Derbyites, the Derbytonian church, that we simply do this in remembrance of our Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Paul tells us to do this. Paul says we can do this anytime we want, at home, anywhere we are, because we're giving thanks, simply. As he blessed the bread and broke it in front of his disciples, saying, "This is my body being torn for you," and passed it around, he said, "Eat and do this in remembrance of me." And they had no idea, but you do. Fill this church, Lord Jesus. Let the joy of your love fill this church and get away from all the noise of the world. God, the noise. Here's your choir, George. This is my blood being shed for you. As he blessed it and said, for the remission of your sins, my blood will cover your sins. My blood will cleanse you. Do this in remembrance of me. Thank you, deacons. The Bible, the books of the Bible, inspired by God. Some of you might say, well, there's Bibles with other books in it. Yes, there is. They chose to say that those other books, though not contrary to the Bible, were not inspired by God. But those writers who wrote those wonderful things in those other books got them from Paul and got them from Peter, got them from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They may have been pastors. They may have been bishops. They may have been holy men who wanted to write what they learned. So they wrote another book, beautiful book. I've read some of those books in the Bible, in other Bibles. They're beautiful, but they're similar to a point from the other Gospels, from the other letters. So they said, well, this person, although it's a beautiful letter, wrote from what he learned. It was not inspired by God. And that's the simple reason why a lot of those aren't in our Bible. But I tell you as a pastor, if you wanted to find them and read them, you would not find anything contrary to what we're reading. People spend a lot of time trying to find something wrong with the Bible, something wrong with God, something wrong, instead of just trying to find God and finding something good. that word wrong. But you know, they've tried for over 2,000 years to prove that word wrong. And they fail. Fill this church, dear Lord, as we do in remembrance to you, as you shed your blood for us for the remission of our sins. Your blood covers all our sins. Thank you, Lord. We do this in remembrance of you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Give him praise and glory, church. Have joy. Hope he's moving in your lives every day. I hope you're talking to him more. I hope you're seeing more of God. When your worries get taken care of, when things come against you and you give it to God and you still work, you have to work. Amen. Paul talks about an athlete having to work. He doesn't win that trophy by that one day. It took months and months and years to get to the point where he can win that trophy. Amen. Or the farmer who wakes up in the morning every day working the land and getting the land ready and planting the seeds. It's not till harvest that he receives the blessing. Amen. It's work. It's dedication. It's love. The same thing with parenting. Like Paul said, like the Bible says in Proverbs, Solomon says, that's work. You have to work at it. You have to build. You have to mold. You have to tell them, no, you can't do this. No, you shouldn't wear that. No, don't say that. No, respect your teacher. If we can get back some of that, even though we laugh and think it's funny, if we can get back some of that, our children and our grandchildren will have a better chance. Amen. Will they be perfect? No. Amen. But to give them a better chance. Amen.